Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and the title of the message is Wisdom from Heaven or Hell. Wisdom from Heaven or Hell. Before 1900, knowledge doubled about every 100 years. Around 1945, knowledge began to double about every 25 years. And today, knowledge doubles every 12 to 13 months. You could say this: we are living in an age overflowing with information, but starving for wisdom. And I would suggest to you that that has been exacerbated by social media. In 2003, MySpace was launched and overnight became a cultural phenomenon. In 2006, Twitter, or X today, was launched, allowing people to send 140-character microblogs. In 2006, Facebook went public. But the real game changer was in 2007 when Apple launched the iPhone, enabling constant social networking connectivity. So that within 3 years, almost 1 billion people on the face of the earth were active in social media. Today, on a planet inhabited by nearly 8 billion people, almost 6 billion people actively use social media. That's 75% of the people on the face of the earth. In the U.S., 73% of the population actively uses social media, and they spend an average of 2 hours, 21 minutes per day on social media. All the while, 58% of Americans say social media is bad. Social media is our culture's crack cocaine. Sadly, that's true not only for secular people, it's true for Christians. Of the social media that people consume, roughly 40% is informational. And of that information, 42% is proven to be false. The balance of social media is people's opinions. And everyone has an opinion. And yet, when you look at the fruit of what is being produced, we live in a culture that has never been more divided, has never been more confused, has never been more broken, and has never featured more wrecked lives. Last week, the New York Times ran an article in which psychologist Jonathan Haidt reported that from 2010 to 2021, the suicide rate for girls ages 10 to 14 rose by 167%, due primarily to social media. The effect of social media on the church and Christians in America has been nothing less than tragic. Again, we're living in an age overflowing with information, but starving for wisdom. That is why this passage in James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18 is so incredibly relevant. We've entitled this series, The Essentials. And what James is doing is James' concern for all of us is to have a vibrant, living faith. And what he does is he presents us as believers. This book's not written to unbelievers, it's written to believers. What he does is he presents us a series of tests to help us evaluate the vitality and maybe even the reality of our faith. And today's test is on wisdom. It's not a test on how wise we are. It's a test for Christians as to what kind of wisdom characterizes their lives. James tells us that as Christians, we can operate in one of two kinds of wisdom. We can operate in demonic wisdom, or we can operate in heavenly wisdom. Imagine this. For Christians, James, in a 5-chapter book, is concerned that Christians, believers, followers of Christ, would find themselves not walking in the wisdom of heaven, but walking in the wisdom of hell. And this passage is incredibly relevant because if ever God's people needed wisdom, it is now. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at three aspects of wisdom. Number one, the superiority, obviously, of heavenly wisdom. And we could spend the rest of our time here, although we won't. We could look at the book of Proverbs. We could learn from the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom literature. But instead, let me just give you a few things about heavenly wisdom that the Bible tells us. Number one, heavenly wisdom is more valuable than money. In Proverbs, Solomon says this, "Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For," and we could say, "heavenly wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and there is nothing you desire that can compare with her." So the question is not just how much do I have, but how much wisdom do I have? Because wisdom is the best thing you and I can pursue. Godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, anything you and I can do to put ourselves in a place where we're being influenced by the wisdom of heaven, that is not only important, it is essential. Number two, heavenly wisdom is more valuable than power. It's more valuable than financial power. It's more valuable than positional power. It's more valuable than military power. I mean, in Ecclesiastes, so I said, this is Solomon saying, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Hey, praise God for a strong military. I'm thankful for everybody who served in the military, but let me say this. It would be better for those on Capitol Hill to be wise than for those in the Pentagon to be strong. Heavenly wisdom is more valuable than education. Look at it in Proverbs. It says this, "Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you." Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Now let me be clear, wisdom not the same as knowledge. It's linked to knowledge, but you can get knowledge from a university and never find wisdom there. Knowledge is needed to pass a test in school, but wisdom is needed to pass the test in life. Knowledge comes by looking around you. Wisdom comes by looking up. Knowledge is learned, but wisdom is a supernatural gift from God, and there is nothing more valuable than heavenly wisdom. Look at it in James chapter 3 and verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you?" James isn't asking who's a good leader among you. He's not asking who knows the most among you. He's not asking who's the most influential among you. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Now watch this. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. In other words, our lives should reflect heavenly wisdom. So this is the test. Where are you getting your wisdom? And is it reflected in your life? And the fact of the matter, it is. Wherever you get it, whatever kind of wisdom you have, it will show up in your life. So let's look at the second aspect of wisdom, and these are the signs of demonic wisdom and heavenly wisdom. There are two kinds of wisdom in life, just only two. First of all, there's demonic wisdom. Demonic wisdom is primarily from the devil. James is going to tell us that. Look, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Now again, a lot of times we have a tendency to think people in the world, they're the ones who have this wisdom, but James is talking about people in the church. And he's asking Christians, does the way you live your life evidence that you're walking by heavenly wisdom or by demonic wisdom? Heavenly wisdom is wisdom that comes from heaven, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is. Now, let me just define these two kinds of wisdom. First of all, demonic wisdom is from the devil and the sinful nature of humanity and results in selfish, evil thoughts and actions. Second, when it comes to heavenly wisdom, it's from God. It honors God and results in a holy life that reflects God's character. So let's look at demonic wisdom, verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. What I want you to notice is, it's not just the acts that demonic wisdom creates in your language, your actions, your thoughts, but it's the legacy it leaves in what it does to your life. This is why this is so very, very dangerous and so important for us to consider, because if we live by heavenly wisdom, we're going to see that what we sow, we reap, that there's a law of the harvest, that the more you have, the more you receive from God. And the same would be true here. The more you are influenced by demonic wisdom, the more you've let the devil in your life. Bitter envy is resentful comparison. It's not only jealous of what somebody else has, but and you wanting it, but you don't want them to have it. Often it shows up in people who can't rejoice over somebody else's blessing. Wonder how they got that. I don't know why they have that and I don't have that. Shows up when someone else succeeds and instantly you feel threatened. Shows up when you celebrate somebody else's failure. You may not show it on the outside, but inside you're happy that they got theirs. Shows up when you keep comparing your life, your family, your opportunities, your appearance, your ministry, your finances, your influence with somebody else's. It's all this comparison. It's this unhappiness over what others have, this dissatisfaction with what you have, and it takes a person over time to a place of bitterness and resentment against certain people because they have certain things and you don't. Comparison is hellish in almost every way you can imagine. Selfish ambition is self-seeking, competitive, and contentious. This is the person who sees every disagreement as a contest to be won. This is a person who has no sense of being agreeably disagreeable. This is a person who has no sense of we can agree to disagree. This is the person who repeats rumors, stirs up conflict, spreads gossip, and causes dissension. Look at it in verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, so you're comparing yourself with everybody and you're unhappy with what others have and you don't have, and then you're in the whole vein of gossip and spreading rumors and stirring up dissension, if you're doing that, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Demonic, and here's the thing that's so dangerous about demonic wisdom. What it does is it actually cloaks itself in spiritualese, Christianese. What it does is it uses Christian jargon to defend its hellish words. Well, you know, I'm just concerned. All I can say is I just feel something. Well, you know, I love them. We have to be careful. I'm not talking only about what we do, but what we allow other people to do around us. Because people can sound insightful, they can sound discerning, they can sound strong, but at the core, if you really listen closely, they're ruled by two things, envy and ego. James goes on to give us a very clear picture of the focus of demonic wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, it is unspiritual, it is of the devil. Earthly, maybe a good word for it is worldly. It's focused on the here and now. It's driven by human thinking, human opinion, human applause. It's a very carnal level of thinking. It's what the world thinks. It's how the world views it, whether it's cancel culture, whether it's just trying to be real. Like somehow, demonic wisdom thinks it's better to get it off your chest than it is to show self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and not say it at all. It's sensual. You see unspiritual there. Really, that word would be best understood as it deals with the emotions. It deals with the feelings. Well, I just feel. Well, you know, that, I don't think that's right, and there's an emotional energy behind it, but it's none of their business. Third, and worst of all, it's of the devil. The word here is only used here in the New Testament, the Greek word that's used. You could translate it, it's demonic, it's demon-like, it's devilish. And what James is doing is he uses strong language because demonic wisdom reflects the character of Satan himself. What is Satan called in the Bible? He is called the accuser of the brethren. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, when you have somebody who's accusing, when they're accusing, let's put it in anything, accusing your boss, accusing your supervisor, accusing their spouse, accusing their political leader, accusing their teacher, accusing their professor, accusing their friend, accusing their pastor, accusing the church, accusing the university. When somebody has that makeup, it's hell that's raining in their heart and coming out of their mouth. Satan loves to cause confusion. He loves to cause division. He loves to destroy. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He loves to steal people's reputation. He loves to destroy marriages. He loves to destroy people's friendships and relationships. And when a Christian traffics in this, it's not a reflection of the character and love of Jesus. It's certainly not the work of the Holy Spirit. They are reflecting an anti-God attitude fueled by hell itself. And again, what makes it so dangerous is it is often accompanied by a justification where people say, well, you know, I'm just being real. I just say what I feel. You can't afford to be true to your feelings. As a believer, you've got to be true to your convictions. It's not godly to just, because you feel it, say it. It's not hypocritical to hold your feelings back. That's the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. What's happened in our society is we've completely inverted the value system, where lights become dark and darks become light, where pride, one of the seven deadly sins, is now considered a virtue. That's demonic wisdom. That's hellish wisdom. And it's wrong for a Christian. And it will destroy a Christian. If you're tearing down a political leader, if you're tearing down your teacher, if you're tearing down your mate, if you're tearing down your friends, if you're tearing down a ministry or a pastor or a school or whatever it is, James says what you're doing is devilish. And the shocking thing is that even though you're a Christian, you've now become an agent of hell. Look at it, verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, or demonic wisdom, we could say, there you find disorder and every evil practice. These are the children of this. Demonic wisdom. See, listen, it's not just what somebody said. It's now what's been released in your life. It's not just what you said. It's the legacy you've established. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. What you sow, you reap. Remember last week we said death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you operate in demonic wisdom, you are releasing hellish death in your life. And when you hang out with people who do it, you're allowing them, because you've now opened your heart willingly by saying, this person's my friend, and I'm going to, what you say, well, what do? You go to them and say, I can't be your friend. Read James 3, verses 13 through 18, and you'll know why. Because I don't want the devil in my marriage. I don't want the devil in my mind. I don't want the devil in my relationships. I don't want a legacy of hell in my home. And I can't be with you. Demonic wisdom is like a cancer. And I would say this, it is the, between social media and the media in general, television, those are the two biggest portals of demonic wisdom in the life of the Christian. And the next one is friends who are operating in it. It's like a cancer. Because it's not just what you say in that moment or think in that moment or hear in that moment. When you're around people, what it does, and they're doing it, what it does is it's introducing both disorder and it's introducing every evil practice. Listen, this is pretty comprehensive. This is why I'm taking time with this. If there's something that is introducing evil in the life of a Christian, I'm not talking about unbelievers, we understand that happens. If there's something that's introducing hell in your home, hell in your heart, leaving you a legacy of hellish activity, then surely you ought to be warned about it, right? And I should take enough time to explain it to you. Disorder. It can be translated as confusion or instability. Because what happens when a person exposes himself to demonic wisdom, or in fact embraces demonic wisdom through their own interaction by repeating it, by saying it, by transferring it, what happens is there instantly is spiritual confusion and spiritual instability that takes place. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I do it, but I'm a little more savvy and I know. No, what happens is now you've said to the enemy, Satan, come right on in. And instantly what happens is now you're not thinking as clear as you did. There's confusion on what's really important in your life spiritually. There's confusion about what's really important for your family. There's instability spiritually. Now all of a sudden you're just kind of adrift. And what happens is demonic wisdom grows in a person. And so now you're the critic of critics on everything. And what happens, and you give yourself this idea, well, I just know. I've been around a long time and I just know. I've seen a lot of things. You know, and it's demonic wisdom. I've seen it over and over again through the years. And sadly, I've watched people's lives careen out of control spiritually. Where once they were growing in the Lord, they were active, they were serving, now they're sitting on the line throwing rocks at everybody. The word evil, give me the verse there, every evil practice, that word is phallos in the Greek. We get our word foul from it. Demonic wisdom doesn't end with something you say, something you post, something you hear. It produces foul things in your life. Now listen, you can disagree with me all day long. Take it up with James. I don't write it. I just tell you what it means. Some of you are like, I'm just not sure. I've never thought about this way. I'm telling you, this is my concern because people aren't thinking about it. And I'm watching it happen in people's lives over the years, and this gives about as clear an understanding to it as I've ever seen in Scripture. The word practice, every foul practice, it's talking about your associations, every foul disorder and every evil practice includes like your relationships, your work environment, your business, your life, because again, it's like a cancer that eats away at your marriage, it eats away at your business, it eats away at your stability spiritually. So James is simply asking, what kind of wisdom are you dishing out? What kind of wisdom are you living? What kind of wisdom are you listening to? And do you realize the consequences of that? Now I'm gonna take it a step further. Parents, there's no place in your child's life for social media, period. And that may be popular with any students in the room. But there is no place. You are playing with fire. And it's so interesting because when you tell people the stats on 2.21 hours per day, most people are like, I'll never look at it. But the companies mine your data. They know what you're doing. They didn't pull that figure up out of thin air. And your phone will tell you how much time you're on your phone. Some of you are like, I hate when it does that because you just, you know, how much screen time you're using. Some of you AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile have had to throttle you down because you're just like the biggest data hog there is. I'm just saying, you should get off social media. You got to treat social media like a rattlesnake or a copperhead. I wouldn't recommend picking one up, But if you are, if you do, grab it by the neck and hold it at arm's length. And you're a fool if you don't. You're playing with literal eternal fire. So quickly, let's look at the signs of heavenly wisdom. Look at it, James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Just quickly, first of all, it's pure. It's morally sincere. There's spiritual integrity. There's no hidden agenda. You aren't serving God to impress people. You aren't serving God to advance your own agenda. You are serving God because you love Him and you love people. That's why you're serving God. You just want to help people. Then it's peace-loving. The original word is peace-promoting. Wisdom, godly wisdom, loves peace. And peace is not so much the absence of strife as it is the presence of God on a person's life that brings His divine blessing on them. When you have heavenly wisdom, what happens is you get life, you get joy, you get wisdom, you get blessing emotionally, physically, you get it relationally. You get it? This is what shalom is. Heavenly wisdom is shalom loving. It just loves the presence of God. It just loves the blessing of God. It just says, I so love the presence of God and the blessing of God in my life that I don't have time for demonic wisdom. I'm all about heavenly wisdom. I want shalom in my home. I want shalom in my heart. I want shalom in the place where I work, in the people I talk to. I want shalom with the people I'm with. If you're in a life group and there's not shalom, leave. And tell us which one you left. Okay. Let's see, where were we? Considerate. Godly wisdom is considerate. You know, it's not thinking about me, it's thinking about others. In the most positive sort of way. It's looking to lift others. It's looking to be kind to others. It's looking to be gentle to others. It's looking to be grace-filled with others. It's looking to be considerate of others. It's submissive. It means it's teachable. It understands, and I think the greatest submission of all is the submission to the Word of God. Submission to King Jesus. Number five, full of mercy. Someone who is full of mercy shows concern for people who are suffering. They want to help. They want to meet a need. Not only that, but a merciful person is quick to forgive others. A merciful person doesn't keep accounts. It's got good fruit. When a person is operating in godly wisdom, guess what? You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of your life. There will be an overflow of godly fruit of all kinds of good deeds. It's impartial. It's the idea of the person's unwavering. They're steady. They adhere to God's principles. They're not blown around. They are steady in their pursuit of the Lord. And finally, it says they are sincere, and many, many translations really are more accurate, without hypocrisy. In other words, you're not saying one thing, I'm a Christian, and then living by devilish wisdom. You're not saying, oh, I love Jesus, but then you're slamming people around you. You're not saying, oh, I love Jesus, but then you're criticizing your mate. A person is operating by heavenly wisdom. There's no hypocrisy. They're completely sincere. These are the signs of heavenly wisdom. Now, I'm going to wrap it up. Y'all didn't think I could get done that quick. But the significance of heavenly wisdom. And I've alluded to this. What happens when we walk in godly wisdom? Watch this. This is so good. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Shalom makers who sow shalom have a harvest of shalom. It's the idea. when you could take this the other way. Devilish wisdom sows devilish wisdom and raises a harvest of devilish wisdom. I mean, this is James' summation is, what you sow, you reap. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This is Galatians. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, in other words, you sow devilish wisdom from the flesh, you will reap what? Corruption. You'll reap death, decay, hell itself. This is a principle that is everywhere in Scripture. Your life is, in many respects, a summation of all the days that went before you. You're not where you're at accidentally or incidentally. I don't know how I got here. No, you, every time you talked, every time you thought, every time you did something, you were planting seed. And today you're just reaping the harvest of that seed. And for some of you, that's the best news in the world. And for some of you, that is horrifying, frightful, horrible news. And the good news is today you can change that. You're not bound to reap a hellish legacy for the rest of your life. This is what I love about God. He starts right, you know, if a person turns from their wickedness and turns to righteousness, and Ezekiel, it talks about that. You know, if we'll turn away and do good, God pick you up right there and start with you there. You can create a legacy of shalom in your life, in your home, in your heart, in your relationships. You can start it today. But it would begin with you acknowledging, you know what, God, I have made, and I would say for many people, most people don't realize the incredible reality that they as a Christian can function in demonic wisdom. I don't think any Christian gets up in the morning and says, today I think I'm gonna be devilish. Listen, you're a Christian because you fell in love with Christ. You're a Christian because you want to love him, you want to serve him, but the devil's the devil. And he wants to trick you, he wants to trap you, he wants you to justify evil so that you'll keep doing it so he can have his way in your life, because the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And that's what demonic wisdom does. So for some of you, this is a massive moment of reckoning, in the sense that you have a chance to change your life in a way that will affect your every part of your life for the rest of your life. And let me just say this, that is the reason you hear me preach this with such passion, because I don't think most Christians realize how prevalent it is, what a problem it is, and how it's hurting them. And what I would have the most joy in would be for you to walk out of here and say, no more of that in my life. And that may mean you change a few relationships. That may mean that you reevaluate your priorities in terms of what you're letting into your life, who you're letting speak in your life, and what you're speaking out of your life. This is a time of reflection that could lead to incredible blessing in your life. And that's all I want for you. I just want to pastor people blessed of the Lord in every possible way. That's why I say the blessing at the end. But no amount of me saying the blessing at the end can overcome demonic living in your life. Listen, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You reap what you sow. And God wants you to reap a harvest of blessings.